Welcome to Under the Influence, the podcast where we help chiropractors improve their communication skills so they can help more people and help people more.
I'm your host, Dr. Martin Harvey. I'm a chiropractor and I'm an expert in communicating the value of chiropractic. Today on Under the Influence, I am breaking down a communication situation that goes to the heart of perceived value of people for chiropractic care, and whether it's to do with the results they get, the outcomes they get, the experience they get, or the time that it takes for you to deliver an adjustment. So it's based on an email that I got from a long-time listener that says the situation goes something like this. I've got somebody who I've adjusted, and I'll say, oh, well done, Mary, you've adjusted really well today. And then the response from them is something like, oh, is that all you're doing? So I'm going to loop back and address that, because I think there's a lot that we can all learn from that in terms of how we communicate value more broadly, as well as how specifically we can handle that situation of somebody feeling like, well, that was quick. So a few announcements. May 18 is the one-day seminar in London, the Daily Visit Communication Intensive, opportunity for us to work together for a whole day on applying the principles of the influence literature to your own approach to create connection with the people that you see, to create individualized value for them, and to do it in a way that is fun and easy to implement. And the program's been designed so that you will get it done on the day. You will go home and be able to put it into practice on the next day in practice, rather than having a whole lot of homework before you start to get the benefit of the program. On the following weekend, I will be in Lisbon for the Portuguese Chiropractors Association 25th anniversary seminar. Amazing speaking lineup in a phenomenal city. Great opportunity to visit Portugal. Great opportunity to have a European vacation and hang out with some cool chiropractic people. The link for both of these programs is in the show notes. Check it out. That one's May 24th and 25th. The Aligned Practice Development Group is going along. We are in our second month. Things seem to be going along really, really well. I will be opening it again for a second group. And just a little bit of announcement of how that will work. The last group sold out very, very quickly. And so there were a bunch of people who missed out who are now on a wait list. And in terms of fairness, I'm going to offer the next opportunities to people on the wait list. So if you want to be one of the people who is part of that new group, then I recommend you shoot me a message. My email is in the show notes to say you want to be on the wait list, and I'll be opening it to them first. And then if there are any spaces left after that, I will put it out to the full email list. So if you want to be considered for that, or you want to consider that, shoot me an email ASAP, because that'll be opening up soon. All right, back to the communication situation. So in terms of the context around this, Kira, the guy who emailed me, said, to be fair, I've usually set myself up for the problem. Maybe they've mentioned a jaw problem or an ankle or a wrist, and then I've been able to address it quickly and easily in the visit. But now expectations are muddy around just what I'll be checking on a typical visit. And so you go from this scenario of them having a normal kind of visit where we check their spine, adjust what's necessary, and they're on their way. Then they have this period of, and then I get this other added procedure on top of it. And it does create sort of a change in expectations of what's going to happen and how long things are going to take. If we look at this rather than the specific answer to this problem, which I will come back to, but we look at the things that are happening here, there are a couple of dynamics that are at play. The first one is that there are two different perspectives. There's your perspective around what the most important thing in theirs is, but it really centers around what is it that creates value. And so we could look at this situation, and it's easy in a situation where there's not a clear product, it's a service, to look at, well, the value comes from the time spent. And you often have conversations around, oh, it was so great, they spent like 45 minutes with me, and that speaks to something that people will often see as a proxy for value where they don't have an objective measure of the value of something, versus value is really in terms of the result that they get. So in terms of the communication approaches that I've generally used, what we really want to do to increase people's understanding of the value that they're getting is to kind of move them away from things like valuing how much time you're with them, more towards the value is the outcome that you can give. So that might be different for different people and different at different stages of their care. But I would argue that if we look at somebody's potential value in coming to see you for care, it could be for the 5, 10, 15 minutes that they spend with you on a visit, or you could frame it or communicate it in a way that helps them see that it's not even in that the time that's needed to achieve the reduction in pain or the dealing with the underlying imbalance, but the true value of that is increased when it's linked to what's important to them, that it's about them getting back to being able to play golf, preventing the underlying or dealing with the underlying imbalance so that we prevent them not being able to play golf in the future, or in terms of a performance care value, in terms of helping them be at their best so that they can enjoy their golf the most. So it does cross over with those ideas in terms of individualized value. So there are a couple of things that we can do that will minimize the tendency of people to default to seeing things in terms of time. First one is to, right back at the very beginning, make sure that we're connecting their care to those values, depending on their phase of care, depending on their lifestyle value. We can also make sure that we've got an explicit focus on creating connection on every visit. So making sure that we're creating eye contact, we're using their name, we're doing those things that we've spoken about previously, because that connection will be an antidote to a sense of being kind of processed in a way. And another preventative thing that we can do is to make sure that we pre-frame in the reporter findings that, look, these first couple of visits are going to take longer because we're setting up we're doing the testing, we're explaining things, we're getting things in place for us to then be able to be much more efficient with your time. And so you won't need to be here for as long. In general, we focus on running on time and using the time as efficiently as possible, and then you give them a specific expectation around the times. Now, I imagine that most of these things have already been done, and so there are still some people who will look at, unless we create a context that makes it harder for them, they will look at things in terms of the value is related to the time that they've spent, and particularly where there's that difference in experience. They've had one experience where there was a longer time and now it's shorter. So there's a couple of different ways that we can address it if this situation does crop up. And to a degree, some of which one you would choose would be determined by how big a level of concern they've expressed around it. So if it was really like a very low level, just, oh, okay, that's it, but I'm okay with it, then you could just use almost a pointing them in a particular direction of how to interpret that, because they probably not really put a lot of thought into, I have a high value on needing this to be a long period of time. And so you can just do that. Yeah, it's great, isn't it? You're doing so much better. We're able to really get you on track with doing less. So it's awesome. It's a good sign that you're tracking in the right direction. Now, if it's somebody who has a higher level of concern, who you have concern that, look, if you don't actually address it, it's going to leave them feeling in some way dissatisfied, then I recommend that you use the toolkit that we've spoken about before for all situations. And a situation, the reason this will constitute a situation is that there's kind of a clash of beliefs, that they are coming in with the belief that a significant portion of the value that they're paying for is predicated on you spending a lot of time with them. You're coming into it with a understanding that the value is really predicated on your clinical expertise and your ability to deliver the outcomes that you've agreed to with them. And so where there are different beliefs, that's where there's the potential for us to have these communication situations. So the toolkit that we use in all situations is we use permission and yes and or yes and, because they're ways of communicating where we minimize the impact of making them wrong by sharing our view of things, which in some ways is not aligned with theirs. So the way that we would use that when we're using permission, it would be, look, you first of all agree with them. You might say, look, I agree. Would it be okay if I just explained why we're able to be quicker now? And then the yes and would be, look, I agree. Now that we don't have to deal with X, it might seem like we're doing less. The good news is that it's a sign of your progress and it'll allow us to focus more on, and that's where we would insert their goal or the objective of that phase of care. So that might be, let's say somebody in a pain level of health awareness, it might be, look, that's going to allow us to focus more on getting this lower back sorted out so that you can get back to golf. Or let's say it was more in a prevention phase of care, we might say something like, yeah, that's great news. It's going to allow us to focus more on dealing with the underlying imbalance in terms of your posture and the way your spine was functioning so that we can minimize the chance of that old problem cropping back up, and any other spinal problems, we can reduce the chance of them cropping up. If they're more at a performance level of care, then again, it can be, yeah, that's going to allow us to focus more on keeping your spine functioning at a high level and dealing with any imbalance that develops day to day so that you can be at your best for when you're out on the golf course. And so we're using this yes and approach of agreeing with them. Yeah, it can seem like there's less happening because we're doing less because we're not having to deal with this other issue. And the other perspective is that it allows us to focus on the more important issue. Another alternative that doesn't use the yes and. So my experience is that in a lot of search situations, the yes and is harder for people to do because we're sort of more naturally aligned with asking permission and then offering something that's contrary to their perspective rather than agreeing with it. So an alternative way might be to say, let's say Mary said, is that it? And you go, would it be okay if I kind of offered a metaphor that I think might explain how care works and why this shorter visit's okay? And then once you get their permission, which is the key with all versions of permission. Now, Mary, have you ever tried changing your car tire and wait for her to go, well, yeah, I've tried, or no, I've never tried. That's not my job. I get the RACV or whatever it is in your state out to do it, or my husband does it, or whatever their answer is. And then I would introduce the metaphor. So yeah, look, I'm not great at changing them either. I've done it, but it's certainly not, you know, I'm not quick at it and I'm not that great at it either. But have you ever seen those Formula One teams where the person comes in, it's like they're measuring it at less than 10 seconds that they change all four tires and then get the person out on the road. So if we look at that, though, compared to me or you changing the tire, who do you think has done the quicker job? Well, absolutely they will. But even beyond that, who do you think's done the better job? And I would argue that they're going to have done a much better job of changing tires than I am. And so really that's what we're creating here, where the amount of time it takes isn't really the most important thing. It's the results that we get. And so you can even lighten it up at the end. And the whole thing with using this metaphor is you need to have a sort of a light and curious tone rather than a, I'm telling you off for thinking of these things. And you, but you can make sure that they know that it's a bit lighthearted by going, so Mary, just moving forward, you really just need to think of yourself as a Ferrari. So a couple of different ways that you can use there. The key things are to look at, recognize that there's no absolute way that there's an agreement around the world of how you determine what the quality of a healthcare experience is. And there's no rating agency or there's no external measure. It's really based on perception. And perception can be impacted by our communication if we use it in an elegant, client-centered way. And in this scenario, I really think the focus of it is to gently help people see the simple truth that they're not really charging for your time. They're charging for your expertise and then your ability to help them get to a particular outcome. And so in terms of creating value, there's a lot of things that we can do beforehand. Even if we do those communication strategies in advance, there will be some people who will default to feeling that if there's a sudden decrease in visit time, that they're receiving less value. And so then we can use almost like recovery communication techniques that are centered in the understandings of situations where we're making sure we're not invalidating their belief, but we're allowing a different context for seeing what true value is in terms of giving them what's important for them in their lives through them having chiropractic care in your office. So I'd love to hear how you go with applying these techniques, and I'll catch you again next week. If you like today's episode, then you will love the Retention Recipe 2.0. It's an online workshop that is broken into 33 lessons and has over 7 hours of content, which will teach you to confidently communicate the value of proactive chiropractic in the first 12 visits. So if we want to have long-term retention, if we want people to stay with us for months, years, and reap the really amazing health benefits that happen with long-term chiropractic care, we need to set the foundation for that in the first 12 visits. So the approaches in the Retention Recipe 2.0 are based on state-of-the-art influence strategies that are effective, ethical, and they're enjoyable to use. They will help you to have more fun, less stress, and increase your retention, which means more practice growth and less always being on the hunt for new people. Check it out in the link in the show notes.